Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let's not forget we are still celebrating Easter, you guys, as our gospel reading today comes to us on Easter morning, the day Jesus was risen from the grave. And there are so many incredible details, as I briefly mentioned, in that reading. So many things we could talk about. The way Jesus is kind of like hidden from his buddies on the road at first, that's kind of interesting. And then he's revealed later on whenever he breaks bread with them. There's a lot of significance in that. We could talk about how they run back 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell their friends about it. There's so many cool things in this reading. But there's that one line or that one verse that is so powerful, it's so massive in its scope, in its impact, that we can't help but talk about it today. So we're going to talk about specifically when Jesus tells his buddies how foolish you are. You know, they're all distraught, they're all glum, they're hanging their heads because Jesus died. How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. This is, as I've been preparing for this week, has continued to become just huge and massive and completely formative of how we hear the scriptures. Jesus says they're all concerning him. All the things we read in God's word are talking about and preparing us to hear about his suffering and his death. It's crazy. So before we really get into it and we try to boil it down to what is the Bible about, I know that's an easy question, right? What is the Bible about? Hopefully we haven't bit off more than we can chew today. I want to ask you guys the same question. Think about if maybe a neighbor or a friend or a coworker or somebody, they know that you come to church, they know you're a Christian, they know you go to St. Andrew's, you know, a Bible-preaching church, right? And they just come up to you and say, hey, what is the Bible about? How would you answer that question? If you just had to boil it down to like one sentence. Anybody? Anybody want to? My salvation. That's good. I like that. Anybody else? Huh?
How Jesus loves us.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anybody else?
Rescue story.
Rescue story? Did you look at my sermon notes before this? Seriously? Okay. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to use that word rescue. Anybody else? Those are pretty good answers out there. Now, I love where your guys' minds are already at. It's about salvation. It's about Jesus, his love for us, about Jesus rescuing us. But before we get there, I want to spend a little bit of time considering how maybe that friend or that family member or that coworker, what do they think the Bible is about? What do they think you believe the Bible is about? And a lot of the times we can get caught up, and a lot of people can get caught up in all the commands, all the rules, all the regulations in the Bible. And we begin to think about how the Bible kind of just teaches us how we're supposed to live, right? Teaches us how to live a moral, upright, virtuous life. And that is absolutely true, right? There's all over the Bible. God is revealing to his people how they ought to live and interact with each other and reflect his love to each other. In fact, in the Tuesday morning Bible study right now, we're walking through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. And if you take Jesus' words seriously, Jesus absolutely cares how we live, right, and what we do. But there's an issue, I think, If we focus in on that and forget everything else, if we reduce the Bible down to simply just a rule book of how I'm supposed to live, okay? And here, this has huge implications. If the Bible is just a rule book for how I live a good, virtuous, happy life, here's the implication of that. If the Bible is a rule book, this is what it means. That's a kind of a cute little drawing there, isn't it? I'll explain this. It's really simple. If the Bible is a rule book, then I'm put on earth, and there's me, and I have my time on earth until the point that I die, and either God is going to send me up into heaven or send me into hell. And I want to go to heaven at the end of my life. So if the Bible's a rule book, I'm going to try to, you know, do all the rules as best as I can. I'm going to try to be on the top of the line, right? Maybe sometimes I'll, you know, mess up. I'll be underneath the line. But for the most part, throughout my life, I want to do as best as I can to do what the Bible tells me to do. So at the end of my life, God sends me up into heaven. Okay? Now, there are a couple issues with this story. First, notice that God really isn't in this story all that much, is he? He's maybe there at the beginning where he made the earth. Maybe he's there at the end of your life to send you into heaven or send you to hell. Maybe you can insert him there along the way. Maybe he's guiding me along the way. But God's really not the center of this story. And notice there's no cross in this story. There's no Jesus. Where does the cross fit into that story? There's a lot of problems with this story. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is how most people, those friends, those coworkers, those family members who ask you, what is the Bible about? A lot of them probably think this is what we believe. But this is a story that came from the mind of man. This fits into our limited scope, our limited perspective of things. The real story of what the scriptures tell us is something way more beautiful than this. A story only God could tell. It's a rescue story, Dathan. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how the Bible is a rescue story. But to prepare us to hear about that, I'm going to do something a little bit differently. We're going to watch a video together. Anybody ever heard of the Bible Project? Some of us like the Bible Project. Yeah, I like the Bible Project. This is a video that I'm pretty sure we showed the middle school youth group. So any middle schoolers out there, you may have seen this. This is going to prepare us for the rest of our conversation today, okay? And it's a little bit longer than maybe what you're used to watching in the middle of a sermon, but I think it's worth it, all right? So let's watch this video together.
So in the Bible, the ideas of heaven and earth are ways of talking about God's space and our space.
So I understand our space really well. We live here. There's trees, rivers, mountains. But my understanding of God's space gets a little fuzzy.
And what we do get in the Bible are images trying to help us grasp God's space, which is basically inconceivable to us.
So these are two very different types of spaces.
Yes, they're different in their nature. But here's what's really interesting is that in the Bible, these are not always separate spaces. So think of heaven and earth as like different dimensions that can overlap in the same exact space.
So we talk a lot about going to heaven after we die, but this idea of heaven and earth overlapping, we don't talk a lot about that.
Which is kind of crazy because the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once fully united and then driven apart, and about how God is bringing them back together once again.
So let's go back to the beginning, where heaven and earth, they're completely overlapping.
Yeah, this is what the Bible's description of the Garden of Eden is all about. It's a place where God and humanity dwelt together perfectly, no separation, and humans then partner with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world and so on.
But as humans, we wanted to do things a different way. We wanted God out and we wanted to create a world apart from him.
Yeah, so we have these two spaces now. And the Bible actually uses lots of different kinds of words and phrases to refer to these two spaces to make a clear distinction.
So you've said that these spaces can overlap, though. So explain how that works.
Yeah, this is where we have to start talking about temples. Because in the biblical world, you experience God's presence by going to a temple. That's where heaven and earth overlap.
Now, there are two types of temples described in the Bible. One is a tabernacle, basically a tent that was built by Moses. And the other was this massive building made by Solomon.
And these temples were decorated with fruit trees and flowers and images of angels and all kinds of gold and jewels and so on. And these are designed to make you feel like you're going back to the garden. And at the center of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was like the hot spot of God's presence.
Now we can go and be with God again.
But not so fast, because the temple also creates a problem. So God's space is full of his presence and goodness and justice and beauty, but human space is full of sin and injustice and the ugliness that results.
So how do these spaces overlap if they're so different and they're in conflict with each other?
This was resolved through animal sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do animal sacrifices have to do with this?
Yeah, the idea is this. Animal sacrifices, somehow they absorb the sin when the animal dies in your place. And it creates a clean space, so to speak, where you are now free to enter into the temple and be in God's presence.
Okay, so if I'm an Israelite and I live in Jerusalem, I might be able to be in God's presence. But you said the story of the Bible is all of heaven and earth reuniting.
Right. So we have to keep going in the story where we come to Jesus in the New Testament. And in the Gospel of John, we hear this claim that God became human in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. Now, this word dwelling is really curious. It means he set up a tabernacle among us. And so what John is claiming right here is that Jesus is a temple. He is now the place where heaven and earth overlap.
What's interesting about Jesus is that he isn't staying in this safe, clean space. He's running around, hanging out with sinners. He's healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving people of their sins.
He's basically creating little pockets of heaven where people can be in God's presence, but he's doing it out there in the middle of the world of sin and death.
And he keeps telling everyone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And he even told his followers to pray regularly that God's kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven.
But a lot of people are threatened by Jesus and they kill him, which seems to spoil this whole plan to reunite heaven and earth.
But we have to go back to a scene earlier on in Jesus' story where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
So Jesus isn't just talked about as being a temple, he's also talked about as being the temple sacrifice.
Yeah, so the cross is now the place where Jesus absorbs sin to create a clean space that is not limited like animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice has the power to keep spreading and reuniting more and more of heaven and earth.
And this is all really great, but it leaves one big question in my mind, which is, what happens when I die? Don't I just fly over to God's space to be with Jesus?
Yeah, so a few times in the New Testament, we learn that Christians will be with Jesus in heaven after they die, but that is not the focus of the Bible story. The focus is on how heaven and earth are being reunited through Jesus and will be completely brought together one day when he returns. So in the book of Revelation, we get this beautiful image of the Garden of Eden, now in the form of a city, coming to end the age of sin and death by redeeming all of human history in a renewed creation. And God's space and human space completely overlap once again.
Okay, I know that was a lot. Okay, there were a lot of details in there. Hopefully, we were able to track for most of it. There's some details we're not going to focus in on. But what I hope we're starting to see is first, that the story we're beginning to tell is a lot different than this story, right? In this story, you and I are trying to escape Earth, essentially. We're trying to get out of here and go up to heaven. But the story we're starting to tell is much different than that. It's not an escape story. It's not the Bible as a rule book, but the Bible as a rescue story. Where we're not trying to get out, but God is coming down to us. God is bringing heaven to us. And we'll kind of recap some of the things in that video. First, it all begins. The story starts whenever heaven and earth are fully united in perfect harmony, right there at the beginning. Genesis 1, God is out walking among his creation. God loves his creation. His creation is good and perfect, and there's no sin, there's no death, there's no hellishness and evil, all these things. Heaven and earth, there's really no hard distinctions between the two. But something happens early on in the story that pulls God's good creation that he loves so much away from him. And what is it that pulls heaven and earth away from each other? Adam and Eve's sin, right? Sin comes into the world and brings death, brings hell itself with it. All evil, all hatred, all anger, all these things. All these things that God does not want in his good creation. God loves his creation. God loves you so much that he's not going to let sin and death keep you away from him. And so what's he going to do? What's he going to do to bring heaven and earth back together? Well, that's where we meet Jesus. On Easter morning, having just been raised from the dead, having just been hung on a cross to take on the sins of the entire world, hanging out with two of his buddies who don't recognize him. And again, remember what he says to them. He says, "How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things?" The Messiah had to suffer in order to rescue God's good creation and win, put heaven and earth back together again. Of course, and then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explains that this is what all the scriptures are about. In order to win back his creation and deal with the sin and the death and the hell and the evil, God brings heaven down to earth and allows that sin and that evil and hell itself to overwhelm him when he goes on the cross and dies for you. So that one day, heaven and earth will be completely restored. And all sin and all hell and all evil and all anger, all the results of sin will be pulled out of God's good creation that he loves so much. I think this is so cool, you guys. I think this story is way, way more beautiful than that other story. The Bible as a rule book. If the Bible is a rule book, then I'm spending my life trying to get out of God's good creation. But what we see is that God is bringing heaven down to us and restoring and rescuing this creation that he loves so much. And if you're still not convinced, if you're not convinced that the story of the Bible tells us a story of a God who loves us enough to rescue his creation through his dying on a cross, I want to show you something from the Gospel of Mark, okay? We're going to read just a few verses. We're going to start at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. This is the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, okay? And I just love how it begins. It says, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." And look where he starts. He says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. He goes back to the prophets, just like Jesus said. This is all about him. And he talks about how John is going to come. I'm going to send my messenger ahead of you, John the Baptist, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. All right? Now, I want to zip down to verse 14 and show you guys what Jesus says. This is really cool. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The time has come. Look what he says. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You guys, this whole story is about God in his love for you, not letting us stay in our sin, in our wickedness, in our messes, but actually bringing heaven to us, to rescue us, to restore us. And what's at the center of all of it? What holds the whole plan together is that the Messiah had to suffer and die so that he could rise for you. That's what the story is about. And so, when you encounter that neighbor or that friend or that family member or whoever it is who asks you, hey, what's the Bible about? I hope we keep these in mind. It's God's rescue story. Let me say a quick prayer, and then we're going to get to our sermon takeaways, okay? Lord God, thank you for loving us enough that you don't leave us in our sin. You don't leave your creation to itself. But instead, you come down from heaven and bring heaven with you to allow sin and death and hell to overwhelm you. Give us this hope. Give us this story to share with anybody who might hear it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if we took a short break from doing this throughout Easter, but we're going to try to start developing a habit of reflecting on the things being said during the sermon. Okay? Giving you a chance to allow them to sink in. And in front of you on your pew, you should see just a slip of paper and a pencil next to it. If you want to grab that slip of paper and just write down the things that were maybe impactful for you today, what are the things you're questioning? Maybe what are some things that you can talk about with your family today over lunch or something? Let's spend just a minute reflecting on our sermon takeaways.